I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Live at Flowery Branch. It is Dukes and Bell, Mark Zeno in for Mike today. And I will tell you, we have something to discuss when it comes to Raheem and some of the things he said. But before we get to all of that, and coming up, Wes Durham's going to join us here in about 10 minutes. So stay tuned as we'll find out what Wes has got going on and what he thinks about this matchup going on overseas with Indianapolis. Let me say this, because I'm reading some of the stuff in regards to some of the things Ross said or didn't say or things that you're not pleased with, whatever. I don't think, matter of fact, I know, okay? Being in various markets, having done many coaches' shows in my career, Mark, and then I'm going to let you go because I think you need to address this.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it has been managers, whether it has been head coaches that I have been on with or had to do their shows, in their worst moments, and I can say this even for Dan Quinn at the end, I can say it for Mike Smith at the end here in Atlanta, I can say it for Arthur Smith, who didn't know it was going to be the end.
Shouldn't have been.
They don't come in moping. And I just don't know. Some of you expect Ra to come in here and just be like, woe is me, and fans, I'm sorry, and we got to play better. The reason why I asked him about why he didn't react to that kick the way most of us did last week.
Should have seen my reaction.
Because he's right. You can't just lose control in that moment, despite the fact we've lost three in a row or what, or two in a row at that point, and the kicker's just blown an opportunity for you to win another game. You still had time to do something, and he said it. We did everything we were supposed to do, and then we made the mistakes and ended up losing the game. What I'm telling you is, for everybody that just expects him to walk into these interviews week after week, and you expect him to just mope in here and come in and go, well, you know, I mean, boy, gee, I hope I can do better. That's just never going to happen. And it hasn't happened with any of these coaches I've ever dealt with, okay? So that I want to put out there first and foremost. It doesn't mean there's not pressure on MZ. It doesn't mean that this team doesn't need to win. It doesn't mean that they don't need to execute and score in the red zone. It certainly doesn't mean that they get to go to Germany and lay an egg. But I don't expect him to walk into this room with us in the Ticketmaster Studios ever, even if it's the end. And I've seen that with coaches, to walk in and go, all right, well, you know what? It's over. I mean, we lost three in a row. I don't have anything else to play for. No. Like, that just doesn't happen. So I say that to get to you, because you apparently are getting criticism for asking what is the criticism? Asking tough questions?
Well, I was told I was being soft.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is always fun for me to be labeled with the soft one, considering there is a better part of the Atlanta fan base and the media here knows that I am probably one of the harder people on.
Hard to deal with.
Well, hard to deal with, but harder people to deal. Hard, I press people more than most people doing those press conferences.
Z, how many times have I texted you on a personal level and said, great question?
Yeah, all the time.
Z, excellent job.
All the time.
I mean, all the time.
Here's the thing, guys, okay, and people who are still, you know, complaining about it. I don't have to be an a-hole to him to appease you. And me asking tough questions doesn't require me to be an a-hole in the process. You have to understand, you know, over the past couple of years of me continually being here week in and week out and showing up and giving FaceTime to him and letting him get to know me and understand me and, you know, value the questions I ask as important because I do my homework and I do my research and I don't come in there and ask him stupid ones or ones that don't really pertain to reasons why they won or lost a game, you develop a relationship with him and a trust with him, okay? I have a good relationship with Ra. I have a good relationship with the GM. I'm critical of them both at times.
Because we have to be.
Because we have to be. But I have a good relationship with them, and I'm nice to them, and they're nice to me. But that means I do get to ask whatever the hell I want, and within reason, obviously, any tough question I'd like to ask. And I'm not ever looked at sideways for it by them because they know that I'm not trying to embarrass them or I'm not trying to make them look – they don't need my help to look bad at times. Coaches don't need my help, right? That's just not – that's every coach. They don't need the media's help to look bad. There's enough ways to do that. It's just – you know, and the other thing, too, is when you do a radio show, folks, that's different than a press conference. I'm not going to go at him in a radio show when he's here giving his time to our audience, okay, and to our station as a partner. I'm not going to – I don't have to be a jerk to him that entire time. And there in the press conference, it's fire away. It's fire and forget, and he knows that, and I know. It's a different environment. It's a different – when you have to do this and you and Mike have to do this every week, you have to see him every week. It doesn't benefit anybody to have that corrosive relationship with him. It does nothing.
And I've been
it makes this. It makes this uncomfortable. It makes it a waste of everybody's time.
You're absolutely right.
It's not fun.
And I've been there. As a young broadcaster, I made this mistake, Zeno, many, many years ago and immediately ruined a relationship that ultimately lasted about 5 years. And it was 5 years from hell every week that I had to deal with this guy during the season. And I'm not going to mention any names, but the point is you make those relationships as best as possible because you know what our goal is, Atlanta? We want to get the answers for you. We want to get the answers that hopefully help us understand what the hay is going on up here, how their approach is, what they plan to do, and maybe it gives you some more insight into how this team plays and what happens. And that's the goal. Sometimes we get it. Sometimes we don't. But this whole thing, the reason why we're addressing this today is because guess what? We got a lot of season left. And I just don't expect Ra to come in here, even if they lose Sunday. Even if they lose Sunday and they come back, and guess what? We're here next week. He's not going to walk in and go, I lost four in a row. He's already told us they lost four in a row when he was with the Rams and they went on to win the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen with us, but these stretches happen. And so when they do, if this is just your frustration with Raheem and the way you think about him or what you think about him, that's a you problem. As far as getting what we're trying to get from him to see how this team gets better, we will do that each and every week on this show.
All right, so let me give you some frame of reference here. And I just reposted this on my Twitter. I don't know if you saw this. It's at Mark Zeno. But Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College, and if you're not paying attention to Boston College for football season, it's not very good. They won the opener. You know what happened the next eight games? They've lost all of them. And he got questioned about by a media member.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Basically, you know, how is the team? How are you dealing with all the loss? How you doing? And, you know, he clapped back at him. Bill O'Brien said, I'm glad you're down. I'm not down. Nobody's down here. We're fighting. We're competing. And they're 1-8, and they've lost eight straight. Like, go watch the whole video. I put it on my Twitter account. And the point is what Dukes is saying that I'm illustrating is that they don't get to come in here and act all downtrodden. They're being paid millions of dollars to do a damn job and be a professional every week, win, lose, or draw, and then come out there and do it again the next week until the final game of the season is over. And whether you lose to the Colts this week or you lose in the Super Bowl, your job as a head coach is to have the same exact demeanor. You guys, Ron never says anything. He's a freaking NFL head coach. Did any NFL coach ever say anything of value to the media? Never.
It depends on if you tick him off. But
yes. I mean, but like, you know, did Belichick ever say anything? He went to the whole press conference going, we're on to Cincinnati, to everybody.
No, he never said anything.
12 straight minutes he said, we're on to Cincinnati, and everybody remembers it.
It was boring.
I don't know what you guys – he's not going to give us the playbook. He's not going to tell us – let me rephrase that. He's not going to tell a public forum what the playbook is. He's not going to tell a public forum, you know, I put the loss on this guy or I put the loss on that guy. I tried to do it on Monday. I'm going to be careful how I word this with you. But when I brought up in the press conference to the head coach of the Falcons, okay?
You said this to Rob.
Yeah. I knew it was coming. You know, the kicking situation, like I said, it's not his fault. I told him, I don't believe it to be your fault. It's not your fault.
It is.
It's not.
It is.
It's a GM's job. You'll never convince me otherwise. So, but the point is that, like, you know, you can ask tough questions and be critical. And you're allowed to do it, and you could still, you know, do it in a way that is respectful to the individual and understanding that these guys are fighting for their jobs. You know, I mean, I don't call for coaches' jobs off unless it's warranted. When Dan Quinn was at the end of his tenure, I said, it's time for him to go.
I had a great
relationship with DQ.
Who didn't? I mean, like, honestly, I still talk to DQ. You want to keep it 100? I still talk to him.
I mean,
it's the business we're in. And the reason why we're talking about this is because I very rarely get fed up with the BS from hearing from people about the stuff we're discussing. Well, it's part of this is, by the way, it's not our fault. And it's not your fault, our listeners, because you guys love us and you're wonderful. Part of this is the rut we've been in as a franchise.
Yeah.
We are all so tired. And you know what we're hoping? To be honest, this frustration stems from your hoping Ra can pull us out of this. You're hoping the new head coach, the next head coach, the guy who they have put their faith in, can find a way to pull us out of this rut and we can find a way to become relevant and be a playoff team again. So that is the frustration that we're already living with,
right? Can I just add one more note to this? And here's the thing, and this is more pertinent for you than it is for me. You've been in this market, you've been at the station since it started. You have a ton of relationships here, professionally and personally, with a lot of the big people. I don't have as many as you do, but you get the point where I'm going is this. Like, newsflash to everybody out there who complains, not particularly about, like, you know, me asking hard questions or you or anybody, but some of the other media. Guys, you know what? Our job, part of our job in being successful is access. And I'm not about, none of us are about to give away our access to appease you, to be a jerk to somebody when you can ask the question in a different way and get the same answer to being a jerk, right? Yeah. The access allows me, and like Ryan said, I'm not sure if I said it to you privately or you know, because I do talk to him privately. And that allows me to have more information to bring it to you, the fans, the listeners, correct, and tell you guys things. Why should I risk that because you want me to call him a dirtbag in front of him so you can feel better about it? Like, the net gain is not there for any of us. So it's a balance to be able to do your job, do it effectively, create a good relationship, but still be allowed to call them out when it happens and when it's needed. And so we've been on this soapbox long enough. But
I agree. And we just wanted to address it because this isn't going anywhere. We could win Sunday, and many of you may not even be – you may not still be happy. You're still going to say he didn't do this, that, and the other, and you guys need to be sure that you ask him these questions, and we probably will. We could run off two or three, and I actually think we need to win the next four. Mark and I talked about that to start the show. This is a stretch of games where the season not only is on the line, but also if you have any real aspirations of getting to the playoffs, this is that stretch of the season where you look at the schedule and you go, okay, let's be completely honest about where we are. Indy, winnable game. I know they've looked good last week. First loss or whatever, you know, second loss of the season. But when you start talking about win this week, and then you've got Panthers, Saints, and Jets, it's four games you should win. Those are four games we should win. All right. You don't have to be a jerk. You just need to be thorough. We're coming back. We got plenty to discuss. If you missed the interview with Rob, by the way, and you're going, man, what's all the fuss? Well, you get a chance to hear it in the 5 o'clock hour, okay? You'll hear what he had to say to us up here at Flowery Branch. Coming up, though, Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, joins us next.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno's in for Mike today. We're live at Flowery Branch. Thanks for being here, and thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. We need to talk to our buddy Wes Durham, and I actually am more curious, to be honest with you, about getting his thoughts on the college football playoff, which we will. But Falcons do have a big game this weekend, and we want to get his thoughts there as well. Wes, always good to have you on. We've already talked to Coach today. If you missed that interview, we'll replay some of it for you in the 5 o'clock hour, so stay tuned. And we're also awaiting our player segment, which should happen here in the next 30 minutes. Wes, last week, tough loss, but as we talked to Coach, you know, he didn't want to – he said, look, we didn't win the game, but you do take some things out of that game that you feel really good about. Can they build on it? Can we build on some of the good things we saw last week heading into this weekend in Berlin?
Sure, and you better hope you do. The bigger concern, the sidetrack of the conversation, what you did well, and now it's going to be around, you know, the potential that Bergeron doesn't play. You hope Lindstrom's fine, things like that, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to deal with some of the attrition you have during the course of the NFL season. But sure, look, I think – Michael did a really good job late in the ball game, evading the pocket, staying away from pressure. Atlanta didn't turn the ball over defensively. They did turn over New England, right? I thought there were some real positives. You know, Drake was amazing. I think there's something you can go with here. The element of this is, Carl and Mark, you're now playing another team who's got a lot on the line and a team who is – surprisingly in a really good spot, had their win streak snap last week at Pittsburgh, and a quarterback who, like Baker Mayfield, has found a new address and is revitalized. And I think there's a lot to be said about kind of how all that's transpired in Indy. But Atlanta has got to take care of Atlanta. It's funny, I find this storyline a lot with college teams, but the one here is Atlanta has to take care of Atlanta. The only people who can fix Atlanta right now is Atlanta, not who you're playing. You got to fix yourself in order to give yourself a chance to beat the other team.
Wes, one of the things I spoke to Rob about them needing to fix, I mean, it's not necessarily about touches for Bijan, but it is about the actual running game. They've got to find a way to be able to run the ball, hold on to the ball. Remember, the first 3 weeks of the year, I think they were top three in time of possession, and that number has just plummeted. I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you know, Indianapolis' run defense certainly isn't what New England's was, and I get why they didn't try to run into the teeth of that defense. But in your opinion, how do they get the run game itself going?
Well, there's one thing that'll be curious on Sunday, and that's to see how many snaps Charlie Warner plays. Warner only played 5 snaps Sunday in New England. Charlie Warner, to me, is a guy, when he's in motion, now, are they evolving to something else from an offensive philosophy on that? I'm not sure, but his snap count's gone down against Miami and went down to 5 on Sunday at New England. Is Atlanta going to try and run it a different way? Are they adding a receiver? You know, Kyle Pitts put his hand on the ground on Sunday more than he had all year long. Is that going to evolve to something in the run game? We're going to find out. I can't imagine that was the final version of what they're moving to here. But, you know, what did it help them do offensively in other areas might be the question I'm asking more than anything else. And I think you're going to see potentially some of that on Sunday. The run game, though, to your point, Mark, we did see Algier and Robinson for about a half dozen snaps together. I think that's one thing you got to keep an eye on, especially against somebody like Indianapolis that'll have to commit, to your point about who they are statistically, they'll have to commit more resources to stop the run than New England did for sure.
We're talking with Wes Durham, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons, guys. It's live from the Ticketmaster Studios up here at Flowery Branch. Before we get to some college football, specifically, I just want to talk about Drake. Did you feel like that was a coming-out party for him? We know how good he is, but when you put that kind of performance on and you're on the highlights all weekend, everybody's seeing you, despite the loss, do you think he's recognized as one of the top 10 receivers in the league?
He should be if he's not, and if he's not, I'd like to know why, right? I mean, it's that conversation. And I said this a few weeks ago on the air. And by the way, Sunday he made an old radio announcer sound pretty good. but for me, Carl, it's about not only is he a really good football player, and Dave has talked about this, but I added this a couple weeks ago. He's an elite athlete, first of all, who happens to be a really good football player. And the second part that Dave talked about a couple weeks ago that I think we all have to realize, you know, we throw the term around, you know, who's the dog on the team?
Right.
Drake London is a dog. That guy wants to win. That guy will fight you to win. I mean, he's a competitive somebody who wants to mix it up. If you choose to mix it up, he's going to mix it up with you. And I don't think we've seen that in a wide receiver in a long time in Atlanta. Maybe Roddy White was the last guy I think that would mix it up with you. I mean, he got in Sherman's face one time after a playoff touchdown that was pretty cool. And for me, I think Drake is kind of that guy. He doesn't show it as much as Roddy did, but I think that's the one characteristic of him that people saw Sunday. I mean, he wants the tough catch, and he's pretty good when the tough catch is in play. And it's been a real pleasure to watch him get better, not just from a maturity standpoint as a pro, but a physicality standpoint as a pro. And I think he's a craftsman in terms of the way he goes about his business, and he showed it on Sunday against a guy in Vrabel who wants you to be, who wants that defense buttoned up. And, I mean, he undressed that guy. Marcus Jones is a really good player now.
Yeah, he did.
And he undressed him, and he undressed Christian Gonzalez. Everybody thinks he was a good corner. I thought he was a good corner coming out of Oregon. And Drake took him down a couple times on Sunday. And that was what caught my eye for sure.
Wes, want to shift gears because we don't have a lot of time.
You want to get into the drama? The drama,
I do.
The Tuesday night drama?
Well, come on, let's go.
Here's one of the things that Zeno and I are arguing about, or at least having a passionate discussion. I said the ACC is in trouble. I mean, this is what I got out of this. ACC has got 14th ranked Virginia right now, which basically says, hey, you got to win the conference. You can then be ranked the fourth highest ranked conference champion. Okay, great.
Right.
Tech 17. I'm like, they're screaming, you got to win the conference. Tell me first about the ACC and how many teams you think legitimately can get in.
Well, if you base it on last night, they're only going to get one. Now, the problem is you cannot pour – And this is kind of the bigger problem where you and I've talked about the, you know, the ridiculousness that is the Associated Press poll.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
This is why I don't think we ought to have any kind of poll at all until this one comes out. I really don't. I think it's causing mixed messages now in a high. We don't have a poll in the National Football League. Why do we have this poll? I mean, people can come up with it, but the AP poll is the number we hang on people starting the third week in August. And then all of a sudden when this comes out, like Georgia Tech is 17, and you're kind of like going, okay, well, they're in trouble behind, you know, Virginia and Louisville and things like that. And, oh, by the way, Pitt's in there, and here's Miami and whatnot. Reality of it is this. Last night we got the first version of this committee's initial college football playoff poll. To me, the next 3 weeks really determine things, and then you get down to the last week of the regular season. So 8, 15, 22 of November, those weeks determine how the core part of the poll is going to shake out. When we get to the 29th, we're going to put this thing in a little bit firmer concrete than we do in the first three, and here's why. Because the championship games are extra credit.
That's so they say.
Mark, they're going to have to do it this year because they were held accountable last year by teams that weren't going to play. And I'm telling you, if you get a team that's going to the championship game who has no value in playing the game, like they're in the playoff, like if they're in the playoff and it's a winner-take-all championship game, then why would you play if you're in the day before, right?
Right.
So the playoff game has to – the championship game has to be regarded as extra credit. And for me, that's why I think the next three, Carl, 15-22 and the one on the 29th after the 29th become the biggest part of the deal. These things are still very volatile. The ACC itself is very volatile. You've got one team in Pittsburgh that's playing not only Georgia Tech, they're also playing Miami. You've got a Duke team that's going to play Virginia. And Duke is out of the top 25 in the poll, but might be one of the most dangerous teams in the league right now. The ACC can find itself into an at-large situation, but they're going to have to hurry. It's going to have to be somebody in the neighborhood of Virginia, Louisville, or Georgia Tech that gets that at-large, assuming the championship is won by somebody else.
All right, so let's look at it this way, and we'll keep it ACC specific because I actually said there's a world where I think Georgia Tech's path maybe got a little bit clearer and easier if they run the table and beat Georgia as an 11-1 team. Now, they're going to need some help. They'll need a USC to lose, a Michigan to lose, a Texas to lose, maybe an Ole Miss to lose again. But, you know, 11-1 Georgia Tech that beats Georgia might have a better argument than some of these other two-loss teams or definitively three-loss teams from bigger conferences who played tougher schedules. Agree or disagree?
I agree with that. Totally agree. And I also think that you gauge things like, let's put it this way, we're not looking at Florida State the same way we looked at Florida State after week one, okay, when they beat Alabama, right? But we're looking at Alabama differently.
Yeah.
So now you mean to tell me that we stop in week 10 of the college football season and start looking at college football teams differently? You know, we just say, okay, we get to week 10, here's the poll. Now we're going to dismiss teams based on the first 10 weeks. We're not going to play the last four. I think that's foolish. So my guess is that we're going to see some of that volatility take place, Mark. And I think you also have to be ready for what I like to call the drunk game. Like last year, Florida beating Ole Miss, right? You get games where an unranked team, like NC State beating Georgia Tech last week. Those games are going to continue to happen in the Power Four leagues. The Big 12, to me, is actually the most volatile league, to be honest with you. That's a league where, quite frankly, I think a lot of things can happen, and they got a lot of teams in play. SEC does too, although I think there's one team. You can throw Georgia in there as the second. I think Texas A&M is on the verge of separating themselves at the top, though. And that's going to be a really interesting situation. And believe it or not, somebody like Texas toward the bottom of the poll has an opportunity to create some issue. They come to Athens and win. They beat Texas A&M. Think about how volatile the SEC could get in those last, you know, four polls. 8, 15, 22, and 29. I'm sorry, Carl.
If Michigan runs a table, they have a win over Ohio State. If USC runs a table, they have a win over Oregon, and they're both 10-2 teams. Like, those are the scenarios that Georgia Tech doesn't want. They want Texas Tech to run the table in the Big 12. They want Michigan and USC to lose. They need Texas to lose to Georgia, at least Georgia or A&M, to take a third loss. Those are the things that open up for Tech.
Georgia Tech needs Georgia to win out, except Georgia Tech.
Right.
Bottom line.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is the world we live in, where Tech people who, you know, some I know better than others, want Georgia to lose every game they play.
Yeah.
As opposed, in this case, if you're a Tech fan, you want Georgia to win up until you play them on Black Friday at 3:30. Correct.
Great point.
Yeah.
Wes, thank you so much, as always. Appreciate you. Great insight. I'm glad we're here at this point in the season with college football. It's a lot of fun. And a lot of things to discuss. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks again.
Thanks, Wes.
Okay, guys. Take care. Be well.
You too. That's Wes Durham, guys, voice of our Atlanta Falcons. We are live at Flowery. We're going to take a quick break. We're waiting on our player segment. We'll find out who's going to stop by. We'll get you an injury update, because the injury report is out for today, as we turn our attention to Indianapolis. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark Zeno's in for Mike.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Mark Zeno in for Mike Bell alongside Carl Dukes. We're up at Flowery Branch, as we are every Wednesday, as the Falcons get set for their game across the pond in Germany against the Indianapolis Colts, a game obviously that is a big must-win for the Falcons. And look, I mean, we spent so much time lamenting the loss of the Patriots and why it happened and everything else. And I think everybody knows, again, I'm not like being like, you know, all sunshine and rainbows and wearing rose-colored glasses. They played a really good game against a really good team, and there's no reason to believe that they couldn't do it again. Does that mean they're going to win? I can't guarantee that. I don't think anybody can. Coaching players, they can't guarantee that either. But if they execute to the level that they did and play as good as they did, then there's no reason why they shouldn't be able to put themselves in position to win this game in Indianapolis. I for one, don't think the Colts are as great as people seem to think they are. I think their 7-1 start, or now what is it, 7-2, has been a little bit of product of the schedule they played. They got to play the Titans twice. They played the Dolphins. They've played a bunch of other bad teams, and the two playoff teams that they've played, playoff caliber teams that they've played, they've lost both of those games. So, and the other game that they sneaked by with a win over the Broncos is a game they should have lost. So, oh, they also played the Raiders and won that game 40-6. Like, you know, they've been very, very fortunate, but this is still a Colts team that, in my opinion, has a lot to prove, and the Falcons could give them more than what they are ready for. And look, on the flip side, if you're the Colts right now, and you're looking at the Falcons, you're certainly not – they play the Chiefs, the Colts do, in 2 weeks, right? They get a bye, and then they go play the Chiefs.
Yep.
So they're not looking ahead to the Chiefs in any size, way, shape, or form, but recognizing the simple fact that I'm sure Colts – you know, media and fans will talk about this. Hey, if we lose this game to the Falcons, we're probably losing three straight when we lose to the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And so their season turns around dramatically from 7-1 to 7-3, or 7-4, rather. And now all of a sudden the gloom is the broom is the bloom is off the rose. Is that what
yeah,
the doom is up. Whatever it is, something is off the rose. But you get the point that, you know, they're in a precarious position too. So, and it's interesting you brought it up too. And we forgot when you brought it up. We talked to Ra. Like, the sauce thing is going to be interesting. I'm so curious to see how that plays out on Sunday. Is it going to be, hey, just follow five wherever he goes? If five goes over here, you follow him, and we'll take care of the rest everywhere else on defense. Like, that's going to be a fun matchup to watch if you enjoy the football aspect of football.
Look, Z, I know, you know, you're in for Mike, but we had a thing at camp where we started talking about, you know, and you heard Wes just mention this, about Drake London being a dog. And I said he's a killer. And, you know, we play Natural Born Killers on this show, which is the song we play when we start talking about Drake, because the camp he had, and I know you were up here every day, we would see each other and we'd talk, but the camp he had was so impressive that I think a lot of people felt like we might have been overhyping it, you know. And at one point Mike was like, it's like Montana to Rice, and people were like, slow down. But when the ball is thrown his way, he's going to make a catch.
He is going to do whatever he can. He's pushing people. He's being pushed on. He elevates. He clears space. And the reason why I love it is because this has always been my thing when people talk about, well, he don't have a quarterback. Look at what Brock Bowers is doing with the Raiders. Mm-hmm. He hadn't had a quarterback since he got there. I don't know what you think about Geno. Brock Bowers just makes plays. Mm-hmm. You throw him the ball, it's going to be a play. That's how I feel about Drake. And I only get back to, I respect Sauce. But please, let's not throw his way because we over-respect Sauce so much when you got a guy like Drake who's just, throw it out here. Let me see what happens. We have a dog in Drake in that way. And that's the characteristic that I absolutely love about him. It's something that I wish some other receivers, you know, that have been here would have. But everybody's not built that way. He is.
On the bright side for the Falcons, they play the Jets. They would have to face Sauce anyway at some point.
This is true.
They didn't trade him. So
that's right.
You know, if it wasn't now, it was going to be 3 weeks from now that Drake was going to be lined up in front of him. Now it just comes earlier, and it's probably in a better position because he's in a brand-new defense here with 4 days to prepare for a game in three if you include travel. So it may work out to him. But I'm old enough to remember, Dukes, when Drake London was drafted, there was a lot of consternation about why did we take another receiver.
Oh, yeah.
You're welcome. Thank you, Arthur Smith.
Well, and you know what else Arthur said to us at the time? And I think it was kind of one of those things. He wanted big targets.
Yeah.
He wanted bigger guys. We know Art, but Drake's 6'4", big dude.
Catch radius is the term that they use.
Yes, big guy. And I think
that's the buzzword, catch radius.
It is. But
you say that,
people,
you sound smart.
Well, you know what I want? I size.
Okay.
I always talk about size.
It does matter.
It matters. And give me size and a guy that's as athletic as he is, and all of a sudden it just changes things, man. 404-726-0929. Our conversation with Raheem coming up, if you missed that. As we've been talking about the college football playoff, and we will get back to that because it is interesting and want to get Wes's thoughts on that. But there's a lot of things that are going to happen between now and the college football playoff, you know, kicking off at the end of December, or actually early January, I guess, the end of December, early January. But bottom line is, if you are a team that's in the mix right now, the bottom line is win out. Like, that's just where you're at. And you lose, and you're going to put your fate in somebody else's hands. So we'll dive back into that here live at Flowery Branch. Hey, as we've been talking about the Hawks, do want to mention this too because we're waiting on our player segment, and we're going to grab a Falcon player here in just a little bit. Hawks win last night. We mentioned this earlier. Can we replay it real quick? Big O back at the studio. Desmond Bain throws a ball at Okongwu last night. Not only that, the guys here, Day-Day and Gordon were telling me, he throws him down, you know, after the foul. It was a hard foul. It was a breakaway. Throws him down, then throws the ball at him. And it was blatantly obvious that this was a technical flagrant two, which gets you kicked out of the game, which is what happened. Bain said it was just a hard foul. But I'm telling you, like, you want to talk about a rival? I don't like Orlando. I don't. And Ben Carroll's a hell of a player, but he yaps all the time. And this now adds to this with Bain. I want you to hear what our play-by-play guy said. This is Steve Holman on the call here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now a long pass up ahead to Onyeka, and he goes up and got fouled, knocked down to the floor by Desmond Bain. Bain is a dirty player, and he just showed it right there. Bain's going to get a flagrant foul on this. Desmond Bain, who's been known for this kind of stuff in his career, he should be thrown out of this game. That should be a flagrant too. Desmond Bain, a dirty, rotten player, and he's been that way his whole career, and he just showed it in a Magic uniform. He's kind of restrained himself with the Magic so far, but he returns to Desmond Bain right now with a dirty, rotten play. It's going to be looked at, and it will be. If it's not a flagrant two, there should be an investigation into this.
There was no investigation because it was obvious. He gets thrown out. Hawks win. And by the way, that was without Trey. We know Trey's out.
That's a good win.
It was. And we've beaten them twice, by the way. So for everybody like, hey, and that was our big question a few weeks ago, or actually last week when we heard the Trey thing. Can we keep our head above water? Can we maintain without Trey for these next 4 weeks? Guys, this product looks pretty damn good.
Well, the other part about, you know, at least Orlando, like they seem to, this past offseason, have gone all in.
That's right.
You know, they added some key pieces, Desmond Bain being one of them.
But, sure.
You know, they added some pieces to sort of elevate themselves to the top three status in the Eastern Conference. And so far, we're short, small sample size, but mixed results. Not too good, not too bad, but you know, look, if the Hawks over the course of the next month, right, what do they play, 15, 16 games, right, somewhere in that range, typically that's what they play in the NBA, you know, If they win 60%, that's really good without Trey.
Yeah, they're going to be in good shape.
They're going to be in really good shape.
Just
you stay above
source.
500, you'll be really good without it.
We're trying to help you here, Trey.
Just
we're trying
your
to help
source.
You. Yes, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home and start packing. Dede, you want to add something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, you got to kudos to them too. The Hawks, that is a good shooting night for them. 55.6% field goal.
It's hard
goal.
To lose games when you hit that rate.
Yeah, and then 43.3% from three-point range in comparison to the Magic's 43.4% from field goal, 32% from three-point. So can they continue to shoot like this? And granted, a lot of it was, fast break. They got a lot of fast break points.
Hey, that works too,
night,
you know.
But, hey, we'll
from what
it,
I understand,
right?
Layups are a high percentage shot. I don't know anything. I don't know everything, but layups work really well in my world.
You a little tired, Z? You over there? Your workout wore you out today? Are you over there kind of, yawning? What's going on, man?
I mean, listen, it's been a sprint all day long. I was very fortunate this morning. I had a veterans event. The good folks at Georgia Tech Football were nice enough to invite a bunch of veterans out to watch their practice.
Very cool.
They're on a bye week, so got a chance to go see the Golden White and the Yellow Jackets get ready and meet Brent Key and a bunch of the players and the guys on the staff. So,
Brent's a cool guy, man.
One of the best dudes out there. And I'm curious to see if he's going to stay. I hope he does. But I hope he does. But in the same respect, like, if he leaves, good for him. Yeah, I mean, talk about rising through the ranks, right?
Yeah.
And working your way up and getting a premier job and earning it, like legitimately earning it.
Let me ask you this, and I don't know, maybe this has changed. And by the way, we're going to get Xavier Watts, guys. He's going to join us right after 5 o'clock. Safety out of Notre Dame is going to join us. He's had a really good year for our Falcons. We'll talk to him about all the things that are going on right after 5 o'clock, so stay here.
From what I understand from White Man Can't Jump, Watts, big bucks. Remember that line in the movie?
Is this old-fashioned from the standpoint of you get to your alma mater, because Kirby's done this, you want to stay, especially when you're having success and you've helped build it or rebuild it, right? It used to be a big thing. I don't know. I mean, everybody still feels like, we need Auburn. We're going to go get an Auburn guy. Alabama, we're going to go get an Alabama guy. Kalen DeBoer's not an Alabama guy, and he's doing a heck of a job. Sometimes I think people get caught up in this. But if you have a chance to go coach your alma mater, like Brent Key is, doesn't that matter a little bit? I'm not saying you take some off the top.
You really think I'm going to answer
Come on, Kirby. I'm not saying you take less, but what I am saying is it gives you more reason to stay, doesn't it?
I mean, if I'm correct, Jonathan Smith went to Oregon State and coached there and then left for Michigan State.
Okay.
Because Michigan State's a, like, 10 times better job than Oregon State is. I mean, I always say this to people. When you hire somebody for the story, all you're left with is the story. It's hard to make the story better. Like, for example, Yankees fans would love to have a new manager. Putting Don Mattingly in that seat, who was a beloved Yankee player, or like Chipper Jones coming in to manage the Braves, right? Like, that's a nice story. But more often than not, 9 times out of 10, all you're left with is the story, and the success isn't there.
Chipper, I mean, class act as always.
Yeah, that's Chipper joining the show. Go ahead.
I know. But the point is that, like, for Brent Key, in reality, if you have to look objectively at it, how much higher can you get Georgia Tech? Like, are we in a world where Georgia Tech is going to roll through SEC programs and Big Ten programs and Ohio State and everybody to win a national title?
They could. They could. This is how it starts.
You're right. This is how it starts. And there could be $1 million waiting for me in my front door. It could happen. Most of the odds tell me that it's not going to. So,
in this age of parity, you feel that way. See, I don't. I think if you told me this 15 years ago, I'd go, not now.
You know what I would tell you? If this were the BCS or the top four, they'd have a much better chance at doing it. They'd have a much better chance at doing it. Being an 8 or 9 or 10 seed in the college football playoff and getting through all of that, 4 games, come on. You might be able to catch one of those teams sleeping one day. You ain't catching 3 good teams sleeping on 3 different days.
Tomorrow, join us, guys. We're at Buffalo's Cafe in Hiram. We'll get you set Thursday night. Football will be broadcasting live from 2 to 6. Enjoying all the great food and drinks at Buffalo's Cafe. Be a part of the action, man. Come out and hang out with us. Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Xavier Watts is on the way. We're live at Flowery. Stay right.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.